says. "Enslaved by their suckling on the teats of those bastards." Dancer struggles to keep up, so I slow down as he speaks. Harmony makes an irritated noise. "Golds structure everything to make their own lives easier. They have shows produced to entertain and placate the masses. They give monies and handouts to make generations dependent on the seventh day of each new Earth month. They create goods to grant us a semblance of liberty. If violence is the gold sport, manipulation is their art form." We pass into a low-colour district, where there are no designated walking paths. The storefronts are lined with electronic green ribbons. Some stores peddle a month of alternate reality in an hour's time for a week's wages. Two small men with quick green eyes and bald heads studded with metal spikes and tattooed with shifting digital codes suggest for me a trip to some place called Osgiliath. Other stores offer banking services or biomodifications or simple personal hygiene products. They shout things I don't understand, speaking in numbers and acronyms. I have never seen such commotion. Brothels lined with pink ribbon make me blush, as do the women and men in the windows. Each has a flashing price tag playfully hanging from a thread. It's a moving number that suits demand. A lusty girl calls to me as Dancer explains the idea of money. In Lycos, we traded only in goods and swill and burners and services. Some blocks of the city are reserved for the use of high colours. Access to these districts depends on badges of warrant. I cannot simply walk or ride into a gold or copper district, but a copper can always slum in a red district, frequenting a bar or brothel. Never the other way around. Even in the wild free-for-all that is the bazaar. A riotous place of commerce and noise, and air heavy with scents of bodies and food and automobile exhaust. We walk deep into the bazaar. I feel safer in the back alleys here than I did in the open avenues of the high-tech sectors. I do not yet like vast spaces, and seeing the stars above frightened me. The bazaar is darker, though lights still shine and people still bustle. The buildings seem to pinch together. 100 balconies form ribs in the alleyway's heights. Walkways crisscross above, and all around us lights blink from devices. It is more humid here, dirty, and I see fewer tin pots patrolling. Dancer says there are places in the bazaar where even an obsidian should not go. In the densest places of man, humanity most easily breaks down, he says. It is strange being in a crowd where no one knows your face or cares for your purpose. In Lycos, I would have been jostled by men I'd grown up with, run across girls I'd chased and wrestled with as a child. Here, other colours slam into me, and offer not even a faint apology. This is a city, and I do not like it. I feel alone. "This is us," Dancer says, gesturing me into a dark doorway where an electronic flying dragon shimmers on the surface of the stone. A massive brown with a mod job for a nose stops us. We wait for the metal nose to snort and sniff. He's bigger than Dancer. "Dye in his hair," he growls at me, taking a whiff of my hair. "A roster this one be." A scorcher peeks out from his belt. He's got a shiv behind his wrist. I can tell by the way his hand moves. Another thug joins him on the stoop. He's got jewellery processors on his eyeballs, little red rubies that flicker when light catches them just right. I stare at the jewellery, and the brown eyes.
"What's what with this one?"
"You wanna go?" the thug spits. Keep eyeing me and I'll take your liver to sell at market. Thinks I'm challenging him. I'm actually just curious about the rubies, but when he threatens me I smile at him and give a little wink like I would in the mines. A knife flips into his hand. Rules are different up here. Boy, keep playing. Dare you. Keep playing. Mickey is expecting us, Dancer tells the man. I watch Modjob's friend as he tries to stare me down like I'm some sort of child. Modjob smirks and leers at Dancer's leg and arm. Don't know a Mickey, cripple. He looks to his friend. You know a Mickey? No, ain't got no Mickey here. What a relief. Dancer sets a hand on the scorcher under his jacket. Since you don't know Mickey, you won't have to explain to Mickey why my generous friend couldn't reach him. He moves to his jacket so they can see a glyph etched on the butt of his gun. The helmet of Ares. When he sees the glyph, Modjob gulps and says, Squab. Then they fall over each other to open the door. Gotta take your shooters. Three others move toward us, scorchers half up. Harmony opens her vest and shows them a bomb strapped to her stomach. She rolls a blinking detonator over her nimble red fingers. Nah, we're good. Modjob swallows. Nods. You're good. The interior of the building is dark. It is a darkness thick with smoke and throbbing lights, much like my mine. Music pulses. Glass cylinders stand as pillars amongst chairs and tables where men drink and smoke. Inside the glass, women dance. Some writhe in water, their strange webbed toes and sleek thighs moving to the music. Others gyrate to the thudding melody, in environs of golden smoke or silver paint. More thugs guide us to a back table that seems made of iridescent water. A slim man reclines there, with several creatures of the strangest sort. I thought them monsters at first, but the closer I look, the more confused I become. They are humans, but they've been made differently. Carved differently. A pretty young girl, no older than Io, sits looking at me with emerald eyes. The wings of a